So you might have heard that the Allegheny Front is now part of State Impact Pennsylvania. It's the public media collaboration focused on the state's energy issues. And our partners are WESA, WITF, and WHYY. One lucky part of this new arrangement is that we get to work with Amy Sisk. She's a new reporter with WESA and State Impact Pennsylvania. Amy's just moved to Pittsburgh from North Dakota, where she's been covering the energy industry, including coal, oil, and wind. And she has a connection to southwestern Pennsylvania.
So my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, the grandfather, that ancestor, he fought in the Revolutionary War. So they're buried in Greene County. And so a couple weekends ago, I went to go find their graves in the cemetery. And I went out there, found their graves, and right next to that cemetery was a natural gas well.
We thought it would be interesting to talk with Amy Sisk about the differences and similarities regarding energy development in our region and in North Dakota, and how she'll be approaching her beat here. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
First, what kind of influence do the oil and coal industries have in North Dakota? What does it look like? What does it feel like?
I would say quite a lot. Revenue that the state collects from oil makes up a huge chunk of the state budget. So it's really an important resource for the state. People are pretty welcoming of fossil fuel development in North Dakota simply because it fuels the economy and provides a lot of jobs. And I think one thing that's important to understand about a state like North Dakota is that 10 years ago, you know, the population of a lot of the small towns that are in the oil patch out there was shrinking. People were leaving. There wasn't a lot to keep people there. Then with the shale fracking boom, that just brought a huge influx of people to these communities and sort of revitalized them.
Yeah, so North Dakota, the fracking there is fracking for oil, whereas we're fracking for natural gas here.
That's very true. And a little bit of natural gas does come up with the oil in North Dakota, but it's by and large oil.
Renewable energy is also big in North Dakota.
We've seen this huge increase in the number of wind farms that have gone up in the state in the last 10 years. I believe there's about 24 wind farms now. 22% of the electricity in North Dakota is generated by wind. And compare that to a decade ago, only 2% of the state's electricity was generated from wind. And it got to the point that a couple months ago, it seems like every time when I would get on the interstate to drive across the state, I would see, you know, trucks hauling these gigantic wind turbine parts to set up at some new wind farm. It just seemed like every single time I got on that interstate, you would see that traffic.
Is there like a renewable versus fossil fuels kind of feeling there, or is it sort of all seen as one big picture?
So a lot of people within the energy industry in North Dakota, regardless of whether they work for oil or coal or wind, talk about an all-of-the-above energy strategy that needs to encompass both renewables and fossil fuel. However, there is a lot of tension in the state, particularly between wind and coal, since they're both sources of electricity generation. And we saw that really this past legislative session with some lawmakers that were wanting to ensure some stability for the coal industry there, trying to, you know, impose laws that would hurt the wind industry. So, for example, there was an effort to try to impose a 2-year moratorium on new wind farms. That ultimately failed, but we saw a lot of efforts like that.
Okay, I know the biggest story that you covered in North Dakota was the Dakota Access Pipeline. We aired some of your reporting here on our show.
Yep.
And the Dakota Access Pipeline is, of course, an underground pipeline that carries oil from what they call the Bakken in North Dakota through the Midwest to Illinois. And last year, its construction, or one final piece of it, was the site of a huge protest by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and environmentalists over concerns about potential water contamination. So what was it like to cover that story? You must have a lot of stories about it.
I absolutely do. It was a very intense experience. And so I covered this starting in about August of 2016. And the pipeline protests that were happening kind of on the border of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation near where this pipeline was going to cross underneath the Missouri River, those really lasted from about August until February, when ultimately the governor of North Dakota sent law enforcement in to kick out the remaining protesters. So I covered that story pretty much every single day for those 7 months, and it was such an experience. I think the one day that really stands out to me was October 27th, 2016. 2018. And it was a day that pipeline protesters had set up a camp on private property right at the site of pipeline construction. And police went in to raid that camp and force the protesters off of that private property. And I got down there and just saw the site that I had never seen before. And just this huge police presence. So police in riot gear, dozens of Humvees and armored vehicles.
Surveillance helicopters are circling above as I stand next to a makeshift roadblock of beat up cars, tires, and wooden pallets. Protesters lit it on fire, and you can still see and smell the smoke. They were trying to keep police out, but police have since pushed protesters back and are trying to get them to move further down the highway.
We won't have it anymore. This is our stand. We'll stand and we'll stop this pipeline.
And that was the day that I realized that North Dakota was going to have to go through a lot of healing as a result of all the tension that bubbled up over the pipeline protest.
Hmm. What did that experience teach you about environmental reporting or covering energy issues?
So I think before the Dakota Access Pipeline protests happened, I was very focused on how people felt about energy development in North Dakota. And then when the pipeline protests happened, it brought all these people from not just across the country, but across the world who were very concerned about environmental issues to North Dakota to try to advocate against this pipeline. And so it made me very aware that, in the future, as I'm reporting on these issues, I shouldn't just be talking with people in the communities that are affected. I also need to take into consideration this broader context of how people, elsewhere feel about these issues.
Okay, well, now you're in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And you've had a little bit of time, I know, to explore your energy beat here. What are your first impressions? How different is it from North Dakota?
So in some ways, it's very similar. A lot of drilling and a lot of fracking. However, there's a couple things that really strike me as different. So I've had a chance to meet with some environmental organizations on my first couple weeks here in this job, and I'm just amazed at the number of environmental organizations that exist in the state. In North Dakota, there's just very few environmental groups advocating, against fossil fuel development. So that's one big difference I see here. The other thing is that gas development in Pennsylvania is like literally happening in people's backyards. It's happening, very close to people's homes and communities, businesses. And in North Dakota, the state is just so much more rural, and these towns are just so much more remote that there's really not a need to drill, very close to people's homes. And so a lot of the drilling that you see is happening, much, much further away. Here, it's literally in people's backyards, and that's something I hadn't seen before.
Thanks, Amy. We'll be looking forward to hearing what you come up with.
Great. Thank you.
Amy Sisk is a reporter with State Impact Pennsylvania, and you'll be hearing a lot more from her, along with all of the State Impact team, like our own Reed Fraser, here on the Allegheny Front and at AlleghenyFront.org. I'm Carol Holsapple.